Hello. I am so glad that you are here with us today. I have a question for you. Have you ever taken that step of obedience? Maybe it was through fear, through the unknown. You're pumped up because you know you're taking a step of faith, and then out of nowhere, bam, resistance hits. Maybe your spouse shoots down the idea, or maybe you get a negative comment on social media. Or you work so hard to produce a new product or a new service and it just doesn't sell, or you don't get the results that you want. I'm not sure if there is anything more deflating as a business owner or as just a Christ follower, right? Okay, enter Nehemiah. Nehemiah is such a great model of somebody who continues to push forward on the plan that God has given him and lead others as well. So welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur podcast and video stream. As you know, you can now catch these videos on YouTube. And if you are watching on YouTube, hello, I am so glad that you are here. Our mission is to walk with you through entrepreneurship in faith and to step into the full purpose that God has for you and your business. We want to help you align your mind and your business. Biblically, we want you to take God-sized steps of obedience because we know that He blesses faith, and we want to cover your business in prayer. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, and your host on this ongoing conversation of faith in business. So if you are a faith-filled entrepreneur, or if you are thinking about becoming a faith-filled entrepreneur, then my friend, you have come to the right place. So let's dig in. So as you may know, the Fight Fear with Faith Bible Study Bundle pre-sale is now over. However, for a limited time, for podcast listeners only, you can use the coupon code FAITHFILLED to continue to get the pre-sale price for this bundle. So you can head to jenkleiber.com/Bible Studies and then put in the coupon code FAITHFILLED and check that out there. But in the bundle, as you probably know by now, we walk through three primary people: Esther, Joshua, and Nehemiah. And today we are going to really focus in on Nehemiah. Now, just as a reminder, as part of the Fight Fear with Faith bundle, each Bible study is 4 weeks long, and they also come with a four-part Bible study series, so you don't want to miss it out on that. We dive in pretty deeply there, more deeply than we're going to today, so you can check that out. Okay, before we get started with Nehemiah, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so holy, you are so good, you are so mighty, and we just thank you for caring about the details of our lives. We thank you for holding our hand, for keeping us upright with your mighty hand, for walking us along every journey of this life. Lord, I pray for each person who is listening to this or watching this. I pray that if they are facing resistance right now, that you would strengthen them and that you would equip them. Thank you that we can rest in the promise that you have gone before us and you are behind us and you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so how does God speak to you? For me, it's usually in these idea bursts, right? It's like a burst of ideas that I get kind of laid out in front of me. Now, I've learned to slow down a little bit once I have this idea burst because I have a tendency to get an idea and go 90 miles an hour, full force ahead. And so I have learned to slow down, go to the Lord, ask for discernment, ask for wisdom. But when this happens, this is one of the most exciting things for me because I know that the Holy Spirit is guiding me in a direction, and this is super exciting. This happened when I kind of broke away from the consulting company that I was working for. They were great. There was nothing wrong there, but I knew that the Lord was leading me in another direction. And I opened the Responsive Classroom, which is my consulting company for education. This happened with the idea for the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur. This has happened personally, right? Moving our kids to, or our kid to a private school. A lot of the products that I have built have come about this way. Even, you know, moving into the real estate investing came this way. These times often come after a really intentional time of prayer, sometimes fasting. God usually starts dripping things on me, and then I kind of have to pause, spend some time with Him. And that's where there's really space for Him to step in. And y'all, this gets me fired up. This gets my spirit fired up. Okay, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? So then I move forward, and then I can't figure out the technology. Or it ends up being way more work than I expected, or I get a negative comment on social media. Again, one of the most common ways that I think we feel resistance is when people we love shoot down an idea or, you know, try to talk us out of it. And all of these things, at least for me, can really stop me in my tracks, right? They make me start second guessing myself. They make me start questioning, am I ready? Did I hear it right? Am I on the right track? And I really can get into my own head at that time. So before I studied Nehemiah, I would take these signs of resistance as signs that I was off course, right? That I misheard, that I didn't do it correctly, that I wasn't equipped yet. After studying Nehemiah, I have really realized that resistance can come in two forms. Okay? Stay with me on this. It can either come from God to grow us into the next level, or it can come from Satan to try to stop what God is doing through us. And sometimes, if we are being honest, in the moment, this can be really hard to discern. Right? I also think that it might could start with the Lord growing us, but then us going into our shell and Satan capitalizing on that and really getting us into our own head. Maybe that just happens with me. So I think that it's super important that we recognize when either of these two things are happening. Okay? So let me give you an example. So I told you that in the Bible study, right? Here's the Bible study for Nehemiah. There is a four-part video series that goes along with it. So I tell a story that I'm going to tell you guys today. Back in 2019, I felt the Lord was moving me into this place to create a course. Okay. Now back then, the only thing I did, Faithful Entrepreneur wasn't a thing yet, was my educational consulting company. And in the education space, courses were not really yet a thing. We had courses, but they were not necessarily the most credible. Teachers didn't really gravitate towards them. They were kind of the things that like you had to do. So you turned them on and cleaned your classroom, but not really like where you locked in and did it, right? So a mentor had actually guided me into really thinking and praying about creating a course. If you want to create a course or you do create courses and you don't follow Amy Porterfield, as a side note, I highly recommend that you follow her and listen to her podcast when it comes to digital marketing because she is the expert at that. So at that time, I listened a lot to her. I worked super, super hard. I developed this course that was based off of the 6-hour training that I did. And I did some beta groups. I did beta groups with some administrators and teachers that were kind of in my inner circle. I also did it with two schools. So these beta groups were happening at the beginning of 2020. You know where I'm going with this, right? So by the end of February, the beta groups were done. So I got all the feedback back, and the feedback was literally unanimous, good content. We will never do courses. We would just rather have you. We just like face-to-face trainings. And so I don't know that there's a place for a course. Literally 3 weeks later, the world shut down with COVID. Now at that time, although my books had just been published for my education for the education stuff, I wasn't making money off of the books yet. If you have written a book, I recommend that everybody write a book, but it is not going to be a get rich quick thing. Just as an FYI, if you ever want to talk about that, I'd love to talk to you about it because I think everybody should, if the Lord's putting that on your heart, but don't expect to make a bunch of money off of it, right? So I had my books and I had this one course, but what that allowed me to do, y'all, was replace the trainings, the face-to-face trainings that I was supposed to do for the rest of that year and through the summer with my courses. So the only way I was making money was doing face-to-face trainings, and then school shut down, right? My husband also worked in schools doing fundraising. He was put on furlough. So we were able to quickly, in the kitchen, make more courses based on my trainings and just swap out the courses for my face-to-face trainings for that period of time so I didn't lose income during those months, right? Now, the next couple of years ended up being kind of tricky, but it was amazing to me to see how God took what I thought was resistance, what I thought was I just put all this work into this and nobody even wants it, and then it ended up being what got us through that year. That was such an example to me of God working behind the scenes ahead of time, right? Me pushing through the resistance of people saying, nobody's going to buy a course in education, continuing to do it. And then bam, you know, now I've sold a lot of courses for Faith-Filled Entrepreneur and the Responsive Classroom because now it is a thing. Also, it took me a long time to create that first course. But once I did it, I had the software, I knew how to do it, and I could knock out courses easier, right? Because I'd already done the initial work. So that was just such a testament to me to see how God so quickly turned that around. Now, it was a blessing that I got to see God turn that around so quickly because we know that a lot of times we don't see the outcome. Or it might be years down the road before we see the outcome. Or we may not in our lifetime see the outcome, right? But when we do, it's really cool to remember, you know, how God is walking beside us during those times. Okay. So Nehemiah, in a nutshell, was born, to circle back to Nehemiah, was born to Jewish parents while they were exiled in Persia. He definitely connected with the Jewish people, but from all accounts, it really seems like he had a pretty cush life as the king's cupbearer in Persia. If you remember Esther, Esther becomes the queen of Persia. This was a very popular place for Jewish people to live. Nehemiah happens before Esther, just as an FYI, but his brothers bring him news that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, that people, the Jewish people there were disgraced, that they were in danger, and God literally breaks Nehemiah's heart. Now, this is what's so amazing to me. Nehemiah's family, it doesn't seem like, was in imminent danger, right? Nehemiah certainly was. He had never lived there. But the Lord broke his heart, right? And so that's one theme in Nehemiah. We're not going to dive into that a whole lot here, but what has the Lord broken your heart for, right? He breaks everybody's heart for different things. He gives us each a passion, each a purpose. What has he broken your heart for? So Nehemiah immediately jumps into action, but his action starts with prayer and fasting. He goes into a time of mourning, and then the action that he takes is through prayer and fasting. And months later, once he has a plan developed after prayer and fasting, he goes to the king. He asks the Lord for favor. He goes to the king. He is requesting that the king allow him to leave his position in Persia, go repair this wall. It ends up taking 13 years. And not only that, to help Nehemiah get there safely. And one of my favorite sayings, for lack of a better word, out of the Bible comes from here. Nehemiah continually through the journey gives God the credit by saying, "The plan worked. We have the victory because the gracious hand of the Lord was upon us." And I absolutely love that phrase that Nehemiah uses. Now, once Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem, most of the Jewish leaders, are super pumped about him being there and this plan to repair their city, except three people. And I don't know if I'm going to say these names correctly. If you know how to say them and you want to correct me, then I'm totally fine with that. But it's Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Now, we later learn that Tobiah starts spreading lies about Nehemiah, but here's the thing that is interesting about Tobiah. He is actually a very connected and well-liked person in the community. So people are believing some of the lies that he's saying. Y'all, can we just stop right there? Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever had somebody speak incorrectly about you, but people believe them because maybe they're more well known, maybe they do more, you know, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes things are not fair, and sometimes resistance comes in a place that really seems unfair. But through Nehemiah's journey, we get to see how he deals with this resistance, both from finishing the work that God has given him to do and leading a whole group of people along the way, right? So what I want to mainly focus on today, I want to circle back to the two types of resistance, okay? Why in the world would God cause or even allow resistance when we are being obedient? Okay, I'm going to give you three reasons for this. Number one, to increase our dependence on Him. What happens when things are going the way that we think that they should go? Honestly, y'all, we can start to really think, man, we're good. Man, we got this, right? And so sometimes the Lord so covets a relationship with us and so desires for us to lean on Him and trust Him and depend on Him. I think sometimes the resistance can come because He wants to show off. He's a God that wants to show off, and He wants to do things for us that make us continually go back and say, Lord, I need You and I'm depending on You, right? So that's number one. Number two, to give Him the glory. Kind of back to the same thing. If we are accomplishing all of these things, it can be easy to fall into a place of pride and think, oh, I got this, right? I did all of these things. I wrote all of these books. I built this business into seven figures, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. And God wants the glory because He did it. Every good thing comes from Him. Right? So God wants the glory. And I think when we have resistance and we have to turn to Him, we end up, once we get the victory through the resistance, it is more intentional for us to give God that glory. Okay, and then number three, bottom line, His ways are higher. His ways are higher than ours. So sometimes there's no other reason other than what He has us doing is maybe a stepping stone to get to the next place, right? Maybe we think, okay, this is going to be the breakthrough that brings my business thousands and thousands of dollars, but actually that was just a stepping stone maybe for you to meet somebody that ends up opening a whole gate, or maybe it's the stepping stone to creating something else that opens a new path. We don't know, right? Maybe you wanted 50 people to jump into your membership and only 10 people jumped into your membership, but four of those people need more attention from you right now, and God knows that, and He has divinely crossed your paths so that you can pour into the people that He has brought to you, right? His ways are higher. The question is, do you trust that even when you're in the moment of resistance? Because that's when it gets tough. Okay, so when we are feeling resistance, how do we respond? Number one, in trust. We have to go back to our trust in the Lord. Do you trust Him? Do you believe that He is for you? Do you believe that He is working things out for your good? Do you believe that His purpose will be victorious? Do you believe that He wants to use you and will equip you? Do you believe that you're going to get the victory, right? Do you trust Him to guide you along this path? Number two, in prayer and discernment. So once resistance hits, what is your immediate response? Because what it needs to be is prayer. right? It needs to be prayer for wisdom. It needs to be prayer for discernment. It needs to be prayer for clarity. It needs to be prayer for strength, because that's going to get you those things, right? So we want to make sure we respond in that way. Number three, we have got to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? We know the verse in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. So when we are feeling resistance and we're feeling like, I don't know what to do. Is it even worth moving forward? I don't like this feeling. I don't like conflict. I don't like it when people are questioning things, right? I don't like it when things are hard. Where are your eyes? Are they on the problem? Are they on the resistance? Or are they on the kingdom? Are they on your kingdom purpose? Are they on Jesus, the one who's guiding you in the first place, right? Okay, number four, we've got to lay down our expectations in surrender. Y'all, a lot of times I bring resistance on myself because I don't meet the expectations that I've given myself, when actually if I'm walking in obedience, they weren't my expectations to put on it anyways, right? So if you are feeling like this isn't worth it, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know that the Lord has led you in that path, then that's where I'm going to really encourage you to stop and to lay down those expectations, right? Lay them at the Lord's feet and say, I surrender. My job is obedience. Your job is outcome. I'm going to lay down these expectations because I know that you're going to do infinitely more in me than I can even ask or think, right? And then number five, not allowing Satan to capitalize on our insecurities. When we start, right, let's say that the Lord gives us some resistance in order to grow our faith, grow our dependence on Him, build some skills to help us move to that next level. And Satan starts creeping lies into our head saying, see, I told you you aren't good enough. See, I told you you've got too much in your past. Nobody's listening to you. Right? He starts creeping those lies in. We cannot allow Satan to creep in times of resistance, right? Pray for a hedge of protection around you. Put your armor of God on you and keep moving forward. Okay. The second kind of resistance, I absolutely believe, comes straight from the enemy. It comes straight from Satan. We know that when we are working for the Lord and the Lord is working through us, that the enemy is going to try to stop it, right? For me, kind of as I've already said, this primarily comes in my head, in my thoughts, right? My own limiting beliefs, my own insecurities, my own anxieties over the unknown, over the future. This is where the lies can start to settle in my brain. This can also show up in the form of other people. So in Nehemiah, we end up finding out that these three leaders who were giving Nehemiah all of this resistance, they had their own reasons for this. They had their own evil intentions for this that really had nothing to do with who Nehemiah was as a person, right? Even though he was telling lies about Nehemiah, it wasn't really about Nehemiah. It was about Tobiah and what his evil intentions were. And sometimes, y'all, let's just be real honest, Satan getting a foothold in other people's lives can often spill over into ours, right? Into what we're doing, in the way that they respond to us, in the way that they lash out at us, at the way their own insecurities that they put on us, right? So we have to arm ourselves against that. So I'm going to give you one more way to respond, okay? Other than the five that I've already given you, here's number six, and that is to know biblical truth. That is why I put these Bible studies out. That is why I think it is so important to know the Bible in context, to understand what these people are going through, what is happening historically, how they respond to things, not to just pull out verses. Topical studies are awesome, and I like those too, but y'all, we have to know what's going on, right? So that we can lean on that, right? So that when we start feeling fear, we don't stop because of fear. We push forward. We pray and we fast, just like Esther did, just like Nehemiah did, and we push forward. When we're getting resistance from people, we don't let that stop us in our tracks. No, we pray. We fast. We follow the model that Nehemiah gives us to push through resistance, right? When God is asking us to do something and it doesn't make sense, it's not working out logically in our brain, we can go back to Joshua. We can see how the Lord asked him to do things again and again that just didn't make sense, but God's presence was always there. So it reminds us to look for God's presence, right? Before we take a step forward. So bottom line, friend, if you are seeking the Lord and you are being obedient, and by that, yes, we want to follow where God leads, but really being obedient means that we are not living in active sin. And when we do sin, which we will, when we do sin, we don't sit in it, we don't wallow in it, we ask for forgiveness and we repent, right? And God's right there for us. His grace is right there for us. If you are feeling resistance, rest in the fact that God is either growing your faith and your skills because he's taking you to the next level, or he's working through you and taking you to the next level and Satan is trying to stop it. Either way, we have to keep moving forward. We can't get hung up on decisions. We can't get hung up on, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Right? We respond in biblical ways and we move forward in faith, not in fear. So I'm going to say these ways one more time that we respond when we are facing resistance. Number one, we remind ourselves of our trust in the Lord. Number two, we immediately go to him in prayer for discernment. Number three, we keep our eyes on Jesus and on the kingdom purpose. Number four, we lay down our expectations in surrender. Number five, we don't allow Satan to capitalize on the insecurities that could creep in. And number six, we know biblical truth so that we can combat Satan's push on our lives with biblical truth. Friends, thank you so much for being here with us today. Again, if you want to grab this bundle for the pre-sale price, head to jenkleiber.com/Bible studies and put in the coupon code FAITHFILLED. One word, it'll be in the show notes as well. I would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and download and share if these episodes are encouraging you and are helping you to align your mind and your business in faith, because we need faith leading business more than ever. Bye for now, friend.